Several years ago, there was a program that took place, and these boys, their role in this Christmas pageant was to actually display the word star. You know how the wise men, we talked about that last week, followed the star from the east. Well, they each had a cardboard sign with a letter on it. S-T-A-R. Now, these boys were either ornery or a little bit slow. I don't know which it was. But they got it absolutely backwards. So they get out there on the stage, and when it was time for the lights to shine on them, they were displaying the word rats. Rats. So you just never know what's going to happen in children's pageants. But, you know, that's really a good message because, honestly, God, when we're human, as human beings, we often turn stars into rats. Just the way it is. But you know what? God can turn rats into stars. He really can. And I'm not saying that our two couple we're going to look at today were rats, but they were very unlikely stars. They're not the kind of people that we would look to be heroes in a story like this. They're poor, they're peasants, they're uneducated, they're not from the creme de la creme. They live in a backwater town. And even when their child, the Christ child, is born, he's born in a stable because they couldn't find a place or couldn't afford a place for him to stay in Bethlehem. Of course, I'm talking about Joseph and Mary. And you know them well. You know this story well. So I'm going to ask you to engage me for these next several minutes. And we're calling this series right now, Finding Yourself in the Christmas Story. And so I want you to identify. I want you to personally identify with Joseph and Mary, as there's some principles I'm going to lay out from God's Word. And some of you may be saying, well, how could I identify with the Mother of God? Well, you can identify her because she was a human being just like you are. She was an example of faith, but she's somebody that God used in an extraordinary way. Same way with Joseph. And so we can identify with them, and we will identify with them as we look at the story together today. But first I want to read both the accounts that talk about Joseph and Mary early on. I'm not going to read from Luke 2 right now when they actually were at the birth of the child, but I want to go back to when they first were given the assignment. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 concurrently. So this is one of those sermons where you got to hold your finger in place or find something to mark your Bible. We'll be in Matthew chapter 1 as well as Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to kind of weave these two together right now so you can kind of get a sense of how the story played out. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, and we'll talk about what engagement meant. It meant more than it does today, even though it means quite a bit today. After she had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'd never heard that story before, you'd be interested. You're like, man, I want to hear more. This is a soap opera right here. I want to find out what's going to happen. Well, now let's go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. This is what happened. This is how that all came about. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was kind of miraculous in its own right, but not as miraculous as the birth of Christ. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement. I would be too if an angel came to me, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Is your head spinning yet? Hers was. Mary asked the angel, verse 34, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. Apparently she didn't know that at this point. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let's say that together right now. Nothing will be impossible with God. I love that about our God. So you know what she says? I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. Now let's go back to poor Joe. Joseph here, verse 19. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But can you blame him? But after he had considered these things, and I like that, he considered them. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't try to hurt her. He just considered what he should do. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that great? They knew they were having a boy before they even had the boy. I know that's not a big deal right now. We know we have that opportunity in our technology today. They didn't know that back then and for thousands of years. They knew they were having a boy. Now, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. Man, I love that word too, because that is true for us today, because it means God is with us. God is with you today. He is with you. So, well, guess what happened? Verse 24, Joseph woke up. He did as the Lord's angel commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Just revel in that today. But we're going to talk about it too, and we're going to see what God has for us today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time we have to look at your word together during the Christmas season. Thank you for those you've brought together this morning right here in this church, those that are watching online. Now, Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us as we read your word and hear your word preached to understand it and apply it to our lives. Lord, I know that you want to change us. You want to change our hearts, change our lives, and you want to use us to make a difference in your kingdom. So help us, Lord, to listen. Please help me as your messenger to preach today. I hide myself behind you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today. Help me to have the power to speak well. And then, Lord, I just pray that we'd have the power to do what really you're telling us to do in this passage, to trust you and follow you and make a difference for you. Help me, Lord, to preach this today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, when you think about Christmas, probably there are several words that might come to mind, maybe depending on your age or your station in life. For instance, one word that comes to my mind is anticipation. Anticipation. Some of the ones that are really anticipating Christmas left the room a few minutes ago. Children really cannot wait for Christmas. When you were a kid, did you ever, now don't raise your hand, okay? You can come and confess later. Did you ever sneak around and try to find gifts that were hidden maybe for you? Or maybe your parents wrapped up gifts and they put it under the tree early? And did you ever try to like untape it and see what it was and then tape it back? I've never done that, okay? No. But I did anticipate. Man, I could not wait for Christmas when I was a kid. Another word is expectation. Maybe you're on the other side of that and you're an adult. And you're thinking, man, the expectations just grow and grow every year. How am I going to top last year? We did this or that or the other. And so there's expectation. Some of you right now, there's a little bit of pressure on you. And you're thinking about what you're going to do. So along with that comes preparation. Preparation. And so we've spent time already, haven't we? We've decorated. We've maybe put up Christmas trees. We've done all kinds of things. There's all kinds of preparation. Send out cards and all that we do, which are not bad things. So with that comes another word, frustration. Is anybody, don't raise your hand. Is anybody frustrated today? Some of us are frustrated right now because it's hard and things aren't going like we planned, and maybe there's some things in our life that aren't right. And so that leads to determination. And so some of us, man, we're gritting our teeth and we're like, man, I'm going to make it. I'm going to go get through this season and it's going to be good. Like it or not, determination. And then for some of us, it's just resignation. We might even be depressed. There might be somebody who's not with us this year that was here last Christmas season, and we're just resigned to it all. I'm just going to kind of go through it. I'll get through this year. You know what? None of those really are wrong, because that's really how our culture celebrates Christmas. But there's another word I want to leave on your mind today. I think this is the major word, no matter what culture you're in. This is really what Christmas is all about. It's the word change. Change. God sent Jesus to earth so that there would be change. Change in our relationship with Him. Change in our hearts. Change in our lives. 'Tis the season to be changed. So that's really what I want to talk to you about today. How God brings change in our lives and in our hearts. Now, I know we like change. We want change. Probably everybody in the room today, those watching online, there's something in your life you'd like to have changed. Now, I know there's superficial things that we talk about, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real life needs or matters that you have. And if we were to be honest before one another today, we might say, oh God, would you change my job? Would you change my health? Would you change my marriage or my relationship with my kids? You know what? God wants to help you in those areas, but you know what He wants to do most of all? He wants to change your heart. He wants to change my heart. So today, as you think about finding yourself in the Christmas story, I want you to identify with Mary and Joseph in three particular ways. So as we take notes today, if you want to take notes with the outline that's provided in the bulletin, there are three points I want to make about what Mary and Joseph went through, and how God brought them through a great heart change that brought about some other changes in their lives. So if you're ready, here's the first point. The Lord wants to change your heart when He changes your plans. Write that down if you would. The Lord wants to change your heart when He changes your plans. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a planner. Man, I love to plan things. When I do something, I want to plan it all out. When I preach to you, I have planned out literally almost every word that I say. I've thought through how I want to do it. I know that's OCD. I'm a little OCD in that. But listen, you do that too in a lot of areas. And guess what? If you're like that, if you're a little bit like me, I don't like it when plans change. I don't like it when Monday morning comes around and things jump the track. Now, I've learned to get better at that. I've had to. I couldn't make it as a pastor if I didn't have a little flexibility. But I'll tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. I'm a planner. And I think that Joseph had planned some things too. Now, Joseph really, I think, is way underrated in this story. Matter of fact, he's a hero to me. I love what we read about him in here, even though we never hear a word that he says. But think about how underrated he is. I mean, you don't have any Hail Josephs out there. You don't have any songs, Joseph, did you know? Matter of fact, he doesn't even get that much ink in the Bible. There's another Joseph that overshadows him. Matter of fact, if you don't see him lumped with Mary, then you automatically mistake him for the Joseph in Genesis, who was one of the 12 sons. So he really is underrated. But the truth of the matter is he was in a very difficult place. I mean, look at this again and just imagine how you would feel. Here he is. Now, I know that more than likely their marriage was arranged, but that was normal for that culture. But by this time, it was time for them to become engaged. And engagement, I mentioned that as I read the passage, meant a lot more in that day than it does today. And it means a lot today. But literally, when you were engaged, it was as if you were married. There was a one-year betrothal period that was called an engagement. And during that time, you were lawfully wedded. You just didn't live together. You didn't consummate the marriage. And so basically, for this year, they were looking forward to the marriage. They were planning, and he was even working on what they would do. The husbands in that day, they would build an additional room under their parents' house, because especially if they didn't have that much money. And so he was building and preparing and planning, and he'd met this woman that he loved, and he could not wait to spend the rest of his life with Mary. And then something happened. Mary came to him. We don't know how it happened exactly, but we know it happened because it says here that Mary, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant. Now, I'm sure that she told him that. And I can't imagine what that was like, but you know, one day she said, Joseph, I've got something very important to tell you. Now listen, you've got to sit down. You've got to hear me out, Joseph. If this is not going to be what you think, but I'm pregnant. Imagine how he felt. Can you imagine how that hit him? How would that affect you? This woman you're going to marry. And so I'm sure he didn't really hear everything. His mind was spinning as she's trying to tell him. Now listen, it's not what you think. This is by the Holy Spirit of God. God came to me. An angel spoke to me. And his mind is reeling. The truth of the matter is he didn't buy it. And you wouldn't either. We know how babies arrive, and it doesn't happen by any Holy Spirit. And so here he is, but here's what I love about him. He's a good guy. He's a God-fearing man. And he's a man who has control over his emotions. You know what? If you can control your emotions, you can be a good man. You can be a good woman. And he doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't take a swing at her. He doesn't try to hurt her verbally. You know, he could have had her put to death. He could have had her stoned to death for this discretion. I don't mean with weed. I'm talking about with actual rocks that have jagged edges that'll hurt you. Stoned to death. And so here he is with all these thoughts on his mind. He's wondering, what am I going to do? And he says, I've decided I'm going to divorce her secretly. Do you see that? That tells me all I need to know about him right there. He's a good man. It says even there, he's a righteous man. And so again, he's got this problem. He's got this crisis. And here's what I know about crisis. Some of you are going through a crisis right now. Crisis reveals character. When you're going through a real crisis, we'll see what's inside in here. When I go through a crisis, we'll see what's in my heart. And so crisis reveals character. So he considers to put her away, but after silently or quietly so that it's not a scandal. Her name isn't sullied in the town. I mean, at least from his standpoint. Now, whatever happens after that, that's beyond his control. So while that has happened, he goes to sleep one night and an angel comes to him. You see that there? And says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. So what happens after that? Well, he decides he's going to marry her. He believes the Spirit. He believes the angel that came to him. He believes that God really did do this. He believes. He has faith. But what's really happened is Joseph, his heart has been changed by God. His heart is changed. So what's happened really, and these are some bullet points to think about, God changed Joseph's broken heart to a trusting heart. His broken heart is changed into a trusting heart. Does anybody here today have a broken heart? Are you brokenhearted about something that's happened, something that wasn't fair? There's all kinds of ways our hearts can be broken. Some of us are parents with a broken heart today. Now, not me, but some of us are parents with a broken heart. Because you know what? Parenthood can be a gamble. And here's the gamble of parenthood. You really don't know if your kids are going to love you back or not. No one can guarantee how that's going to turn out. But you know what? You're not alone. Because God took that gamble as well. God loved you so much and loves you so much that he wants a relationship with you. But he gives you free will. And there's a lot of people today that have rejected that. They've rejected a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So God, if you're a parent today and you're estranged from your child and you're like, man, I'm so sad about that. God understands your hurt. He understands your pain. And so he changed Joseph's broken heart into a trusting heart. Again, it is so difficult to understand how hard this was for Joseph. But one thing you need to know is that the standards for sexual purity back then were much, much higher than they are today. And so for him to go through this marriage took a lot of faith, a lot of courage. It took a changed heart. Because listen, he was going to be subject to slander and gossip and even ridicule. Even his friends that really did were true friends, they were coming up to him and saying, man, listen, we've got to have a conversation. We've been friends since way back in Sabbath school, Joe. And man, listen, you know I was all for this marriage. You know that I like Mary, but this is too much. And here she is trying to spiritualize it. Man, talk about a narcissist. Man, you know that doesn't happen that way. You've got to get out of this. But he was settled. He was settled in what he believed. And that's what we need to be. Because God, second of all, changed his questioning heart into a believing heart. A questioning heart into a believing heart. Now, that doesn't mean he had all his questions answered. He didn't understand everything that was going to unfold and transpire. But he was strong. He was settled in his beliefs and his convictions. Listen, Christian, don't let anybody try to mess with you today. You be settled in your convictions and your beliefs. Now, we're to love each other. We're to love other people. But you can be settled in what God has confirmed in your life. And so, again, his parents, his friends, they all thought he'd lost it. Here's the third thing that God did for him. God changed Joseph's vulnerable heart into an obedient heart. Into an obedient heart. And so I love how it says here, when he woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he went ahead and named him Jesus. Jesus. Because that's exactly who Jesus was. He was the one who would be the Savior and would forgive us of our sins. You know what? Getting back to the children's plays and children's programs. Joseph is definitely a star. And again, sometimes the children, they don't know what to do with Joseph. And one time there was a children's program where a little boy was playing Joseph. And what had happened is his rival, a boy that they didn't get along. They're kind of like mud and water, or mud or fire and whatever, water. They didn't get along very well. And anyway, he got the part for Joseph and the other boy didn't. The other boy got the job of the stinking innkeeper. And he was not happy at all about that. And he kept thinking about how he's going to get back at his rival. And so this rival's loving it. He's playing up Joseph to the hilt. And he comes in with Mary. And the little boy that's playing the other role, the innkeeper, he says, I know how I'm going to get him. So the lights are up, packed crowd at the church. And he comes out there and he says, do you have a room for my wife and I? She's pregnant, as you can tell. And she's due to have a child any day. Can you help us out? And this is how he got him. He said, why, sure. Come right in. I've got plenty of room for you in here. Well, this stunned him. This wasn't in the script. And he thought, what do I do? I've got to be Joseph here. So in true Joseph form, he said, you know what, Mary, we need to get out of here. No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Let's go. So he was good on his feet, quick on his feet. I think Joseph was pretty quick on his feet too. He was loyal to his wife. But God did a work on his heart and he was trusting. So here's the take home for us today with Joseph. Then we'll get to Mary. What does God want to do in your life that is a change for you? Where does he want you to step out of something maybe that's comfortable? Maybe he's wanting to change a relationship. Maybe he's wanting you to forgive somebody. Maybe he's wanting you to make a commitment in some area of your life. Are you willing to let God change you? In the process, I promise you he'll change your heart if he changes your plans. So that's Joseph. Then we get to the second one, Mary. And again, Mary is a star too. There's no doubt about it. Mary is a very, very important person in the children, in the Christmas story and really in all the Bible. However, I will say there's some things about Mary that have been a little bit misconstrued. I want to say this as politely as I can. The Bible nowhere tells us to worship Mary. Nowhere does it say to pray to her. It doesn't tell us that she was sinless. It doesn't tell us that she was a perpetual virgin. She was a virgin up until the time Christ was born. And so we don't worship Mary. Reminds me of another children's program. This also happened several years ago. And so this was at a packed house in a children's program. And a little girl had one line. And her line was to say, I am the light of the world. Of course, that's what Christ said in John chapter 8. And so that was her line. She'd practiced it. Her mom had worked with her and she was so ready and she had on that beautiful dress. And the lights came up and man, she just froze. You ever freeze? Man, I used to freeze when I get up in front of people. I can't believe I can do this right now. I promise you that. And she froze and she didn't know what to say. And mom was sitting right down here with the other ladies. Remember how, you know, even here the ladies do that. They help the kids. They're right there in front to give them lines if they need them. And so her mom was frantically trying to get her attention saying, honey, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Finally, she got her attention and she saw her mom and she said, my mother is the light of the world. Now, Mary is not the light of the world, okay? She's not the co-redemptress, but she is a wonderful example of faith. She's a great example for us to follow. Again, she's a poor girl, probably a teenage girl at this point. By the way, you read a little farther in the story, and they couldn't even afford a lamb, which was what was customary for the dedication of the newborn child. What God did is he took an ordinary girl and gave her an extraordinary assignment. Sometimes God gives us assignments that stretches our faith. That's the second thing I want you to write down today. The Lord wants to change your heart when he stretches your faith. Is your faith being stretched today? Maybe there's something that is really uncomfortable and you're wondering, why in the world am I going through this? And so Mary had her faith stretched. It's not all she had stretched, by the way, because when we talk about Joseph, you know, Joseph does have his own story and he is a hero, but he's not the one who got swollen ankles. He's not the one who got kicked from the inside of a womb. You know, it always cracks me up when I hear guys say, with they're married and they say to their, about their, we're having a baby. No, dude, we're not having a baby. She's having the baby. You're providing the ice chips, right? But anyway, so she's a hero in the fact that she's willing to take on this assignment. And Luke tells about this. Here it is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This angel comes to her. Now again, she's looking forward to being with Joseph, and they're going to be married in a short time. They're engaged. They're betrothed. And this angel gives this news to her. Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now, Mary had been around enough and knew enough about the one true God that when that was a loaded statement. Whenever you hear the Lord is with you, if you're to be reminded the Lord is with you, then you're about to go through something hard, right? And so she's about to go through something pretty difficult. And so she doesn't understand. She's a little bit put off by this. But what was not very easy was for the next 9 months she was going to be pregnant. Really, for the rest of her life, she was going to depend on God. She was going to need God to help her. She was going to have to trust him in so many ways. So when I talk about your faith being stretched, right now you're maybe having to trust God. And you know what? We always have to. I don't know why we don't think we never need him. I need him every day. I need him every hour. But sometimes that's just made so clear because I'm like, man, God, if you don't show up, I'm sunk today. If God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to be able to make, I have enough money to pay the bills this week. I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do. My faith is being stretched. Well, her faith is being stretched right now. But in that moment, Mary made a courageous decision to live in the presence and the protection and providence of the Lord. She trusted that God would help her with this assignment. So first of all, Mary's heart was changed as she saw God at work in her circumstances. Some of us, our faith is stretched and we kind of turn on God because we don't see God at work in our circumstances. We're like, I don't see God helping me at all. When really the truth is he's helping you in a lot of ways. There are many ways that he is working in and among you right now. Again, we want to understand everything on the front end. I don't know about you guys, but in our Sunday, our life group lesson today, we looked at Romans 8:28. We had a very robust discussion on that, which is a great passage of scripture. But we want to know everything on the front end. Sometimes we don't know. We don't understand how all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. But they do. Because God's at work in ways that we can't understand. And so she chose to trust and see God at work in her circumstances. You know, the issue is not the how, but the who. Who is behind the how? And when God is behind the how, God makes it right. God, you'll get it right. And it won't be because I'm so right or so great or so good, but it's because I've got a God who nothing is impossible for him. And he'll help me when I really am in his will and doing what he's asking me to do. And that's what is happening with Mary. So Mary's heart was changed as she chose to trust God's plan completely. God had this plan, different than her plan. And she doesn't even understand it. Look there at verse 34. How can this be since I've not been intimate with a man? Notice how the angel answered her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Okay, well, now I understand it all, right? Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You know, I saw this and I liked it, so I copied it down. Mary is often called the first disciple. She was the first disciple of Christ because she believed before she ever conceived. And so she is a disciple here. She's choosing to trust. But not only that, she's got a heart that's all in. She is all in. She says, whatever needs to be done, let it happen in me. Some of you are afraid. Some of you right now may be on the fence. You'd like to believe, you kind of believe, but you're afraid to really give your life to Christ because you don't really know what's going to happen. What's going to change in my life if I become a Christian? Am I going to lose everything I enjoy doing? What's it going to cost me? I might have friends or family that don't like me. Listen to me, if you would, just for a moment. God is not out to wreck your life. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you abundant life. I can promise you, if you'll trust Him and walk with Him, you won't believe what He'll do in your life. Now, it's not always going to be easy, and it might not always be fun, and you might not always have all your questions answered. But listen, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a purpose. There's things He'll do in your life you won't believe if you'll just trust Him. Because again, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And that's why I've got this last point just to point out regarding Mary. Mary's heart was changed as she learned to live her life joyfully. Joyfully. And so I've got some examples of that. Again, this doesn't mean that she understood everything. It doesn't mean that she didn't have some very sorrowful moments, but it does mean that she chose to just enjoy life. I think some of us, we take life too seriously. I used to be guilty of that. I've made my mind up for how many years I'm left on. I'm going to enjoy my life. Even if I'm suffering, even if I'm not in where I want to be, God has saved me. I've won the battle. I fight from victory, not for victory. I'm going to enjoy my life. And so let me give you some examples. These are some examples of Mary just enjoying the ride. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is a little bit later after she goes to visit Elizabeth. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. This is called the Magnificat, if some of you are familiar with that term. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She's not moping around going, I can't believe I've got to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. Listen, that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy our lives, even when they're difficult, even when they're taxing. And then there's chapter 2 and verse 19 in Luke. This is after the birth of Christ. And this is after the shepherds come to see the newborn baby. And all these things are happening. And so it says that Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 51, Jesus is a little older now. His mother kept all these things in her heart after they saw Simeon and Anna. So Mary was just enjoying this journey that God had put her on, which was beyond what she could control, but God had asked her to serve in this way. And by the way, here's just one other thing that's an aside, and then I'll move on to my closing remarks. Mary didn't face her struggles alone. Again, I don't want to sugarcoat her life and the difficulties she had. And even right now, this is a seminal point. She's found out and she said, may it be done to me. She's accepted the assignment. And so now she's pregnant. And I think at this point, she doesn't know how Joseph's going to respond. She doesn't know how her parents are going to respond. She doesn't know how the community's going to respond. And so guess what she does? She goes to see Elizabeth. Did you see how God inserted that in there through the angel? Consider your relative Elizabeth, who has also now become pregnant. She's in her 6th month. And she goes to the one person who she can relate to and who can understand. We need each other is what I'm trying to say out of that. You need to be in a church home. You need to be with a body of believers. You need to be in a life group. You need to be doing life together with other people. Because listen, when life gets hard, God will put people in your life who will understand. They will support, they will encourage you, and they'll also hold you accountable. And I know that Cousin Elizabeth had to be a great encourager at a critical moment. And I know there are others too. I just want to point her out because she's in the Christmas story. So let's look at one last thing regarding God changing us, changing our hearts. Third thing I want you to write down, the Lord wants to change your heart as He reaches your world. He wants to change your heart as He reaches your world. See, that's what God's ultimate plan was. That's really what God was doing. And Joseph and Mary realized that this was bigger than themselves. That's how it does get good. When you make life all about yourself, you're going to be disappointed. Even if you achieve and attain and accomplish, it's not going to give you satisfaction. You know why I can say that? Because this life was not meant to be all about you. You were made for God's glory. You were made to worship and honor Him. And so really, This life is about more than that. You ought to be living for something that lasts beyond this life. Now, I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying give up all your ambitions. I'm just saying live with God's greater plan in mind. Live with eternity in mind. They realized that this was bigger than themselves. This was something that God was up to. And God was privileged, they were privileged for God to use them in this. And that's why Mary says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. Isn't that a great attitude? You might just say that when you get up tomorrow morning. Or even later today, I am the Lord's servant. I'm your servant, Lord. How can I serve you today? What can I do to bring glory and honor to your name? What a great attitude. And Joseph too. Now again, he's not recorded as speaking it, but his actions spoke louder than his words. He got up. After this dream, he married her, and he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth, and then he guided his family. We talked about that last week in Matthew chapter 2, how he led them to Egypt after he was warned in a dream and literally saved his son's life. See, Joseph and Mary, they realized that this was an invitation and not an interruption. God invites you to be a part of his great work. You know what we do, though? We'll say, man, that's an interruption. This isn't good timing. I'll do this later on when I'm retired or when I've raised my kids or this or that or the other. You know what? He gives you an invitation right now, right where you are, to join him in his activity, to borrow an old Henry Blackaby term. Christmas is the story of how God interrupted human history to bring his son to save us. He just invited Mary and Joseph to be a part of that. And he's still inviting people to come to his son by faith. And he's inviting us to be a part of that. That's why we support Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's why we go to other places, whether it's right here in our region or across the pond. Because we want to see people saved. And listen, with the new year coming, I want to double down on that effort, don't you? Man, I'll tell you what, I know that there's a lot of things that discourage us right now. But we ought to get excited because people are going to be saved next year. And if people are going to be saved, I want to be a part of it. I want to be in on it, don't you? And so let's get in on it next year. Joseph and Mary realized that this was an invitation. And then thirdly, Joseph and Mary realized that their baby boy would change their lives and change their world. Again, how do I know that? Because of what the angel told them. The angel told Mary that this child will be great. Verse 32, will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. I'll tell you what, I'd get excited about that. I'm thinking, man, he is going to change my life and change the world. And it's even clearer what he tells what the angel tells Joseph. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that great to think about? He came to save us from our sins. The ones that we think are a big deal, the ones we think are not such a big deal, the ones we've forgotten about years ago. He saves us from all our sins. That's what Jesus came to do. And his invitation is for everybody. That's why I said finding yourself in the Christmas story. You're there because God doesn't want to leave you out. You're invited to the party. You're invited. It was for shepherds who were poor, for wise men who were rich. It was for religious people and non-religious people. No matter your past, no matter how many mistakes you made, this invitation is for you. And so, how I want to, and that doesn't matter what your past is. You may not have grown up in church. You may have grown up in church, whatever it is. Your past may be full of hard, horrible things, but the Bible says, whosoever will may come. So here's how I want to close it today. I just want you to know that Christmas is about change, and he can change you. He might change your plans when he changes your heart. He might stretch your faith, or he might be reaching out today with his hand and saying, come, follow me. Trust me as Lord and Savior. Receive me. Receive my free gift of salvation. You know, I want to close with this. You've probably already bought some gifts, unless you're a real bad procrastinator like I can be sometimes. And you've bought some gifts for some people. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to give Jesus this year? Have you thought about that? What are you going to give Jesus this year? Now, I know you can't send him a box of chocolates or send him a nice polo shirt or anything like that. Why not give him your heart? Why not give him your plans? Why not give him your life? And why not, if you've never done this, why not step out in faith today and receive his free gift because he wants to give something to you. Salvation is a gift. You don't earn it. You receive it. And then you surrender your life to him. That's the gift of salvation. It's yours for the taking today. And then you give him your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how the message spoke to you today. I trust and pray that it did. But we're going to sing in a moment. We're going to sing a closing song, but also a confirming song. That's what an invitation is. An invitation is where you begin to put into action what God has put on your heart to do right now. And with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, there may be somebody today that needs to be saved or wants to recommit their lives to Christ. You can do that right now. And, you know, I'd ask you just to be bold and come to the altar and do that, because really, when you take a step out, that just kind of confirms it. You're kind of like putting a stake in the ground and saying, no turning back. I'm making this decision and I'm going to trust Christ. Come and talk to me about that right now. We can pray together. There's going to be some others up there to pray with you if necessary. But if you need to pray about something today, come to the altar. Maybe there's some other need. Maybe there's something that's really burdening you and you just need to leave it at the altar today. Whatever it is you need to do, I'm going to pray for you and then we're going to have our invitation. Father, I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for the Christmas story. And I'm so thankful for how ordinary people like Mary and Joseph are stars in this story. And they're not stars because they're so great in their own lives, their own perfection. They're stars because they're willing to be molded and yielded and changed by you. It's what makes us all stars. We shine with reflected light. We're not the light, but we reflect the light of the one who saves us, the one who can change us. So help us to shine this Christmas season. Help us to be kinder to people around us. Help us to be more vibrant, more willing to share, take time to listen. Help us to give you gifts, Lord, of our life, our time, our talents, our treasures. But Lord, I pray that most importantly, that everyone listening today will receive or has received the gift of salvation, that no one would leave here without naming Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you that you're a forgiving God. Jesus, thank you that you came and you were born in hard conditions in a manger, laid your back on wood, a wooden manger, because 33 years later, your back would be laid up against an old wooden cross and your hands and feet nailed to that cross. So you could give your life as a ransom for many. Lord, I pray that people would accept that and receive that day if anybody needs to come to faith in Christ. Thank you for your wonderful salvation and your powerful resurrection. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would have your way in this place right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.